Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you join us today as we face the issues. We are always delighted to have you join in with the dialogue and discussion. And today, perhaps more so than other, because it's a very serious biblical theological issue that we will be discussing today. We're going to be talking about today, without faith, you can't please God. Did you know that? Have you read that? What does that mean? Better yet, what does it mean, faith? What is faith? What determines faith? How do we receive faith? What does the Bible say about faith? What are the evidences of faith in the Scripture? What's the source of that faith? Can we simply believe something and say that's faith? The Bible says in James, the book of James, that the demons believe and tremble. But that doesn't mean they're saved. So the question is today, what do you do with faith? Do you have faith? How do you receive faith? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about that pretty extensively today. That is to the extent that the time will allow us to do so. Have Pastor Davis with me today. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for joining us today. Delighted to have you.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Very good. Thank God for being here again on today. I do want to give honor to God the Father, who's the head of my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. I do want to say good morning, amen, to my bride of 37 years, all my friends and family that are listening on today. Truly, amen, Dr. Youngblood, this is a great subject that we have on today, on the subject of faith. I believe that the church world needs to understand that we're living in a time right now as when if you don't have the true faith of God, you will not be able to stand. The scripture lets us know, amen, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So scripture says that he that believeth, amen, well, we must believe that God is or that he exists.
That's right.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
So don't let nothing stand in your way on today. Seek God with your whole heart.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Place faith, trust, and confidence in him. Ladies and gentlemen, that touches on the very centrality of where we are and what we're doing. We're going by the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. When we talk about issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that we're talking about each and every day. We're talking about looking at world events. We're talking about looking at theological, doctrinal, biblical events. We're talking about looking at political, social, economic, military, whatever it may be, whatever category. We look at it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does the Bible say about it? That's the key issue at hand. Many people today refuse and reject truth. It's as the secularist George Orwell said many years ago. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that very, very true when we talk about political issues, when we talk about biblical issues. Many will get all excited, uptight, and in your face if they disagree with you, and never mind the fact that you're speaking truth, but yet we have a society today where some 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, when it comes to truth, they say each person determines their own version of truth. And we find that to be difficult but true, if I can use that spin on the terms. Many today in churches, congregations, theological institutions, many today believe that they are espousing truth, but perhaps it's their own truth. This is the reason I find it so vital so necessary for us to talk about theological doctrinal issues from the rudimentary fundamentals of what the Scripture says. It is looking at truth from a biblical worldview. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. He said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge you with that each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to seek truth. And today, as we seek truth, we're going to be talking about the simple little word that's very profound, that's very in-depth, very necessary. It's called faith. It's called faith. During the course of the broadcast today, when we open the microphones and the telephone lines that allow you to call in, I want you to call in. I'd love to hear from you today. What are some of your experiences that you have found by faith? How did you receive Christ? Was it by faith? Or has it been some academic element in your life that you believe is salvation? What is faith? How do we derive faith? What's the source of faith? What are the biblical evidences of faith? We're going to talk about that today. I'd love to have you call in. Just a moment, when we finish the monologue, the phone lines will be open. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of Old San Augustine Road and I-295. There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, that helps you find Tools for Time. Gigantic flag, flagpole 165 feet in the air. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing you to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so in your life. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are open. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Without faith, it's an impossibility to please God. My terminology, without faith, you can't please God. It's an impossibility. Ladies and gentlemen, in our culture today, we hear a lot about having faith. Having a lot of faith. In fact, people talk about we've got faith in the economy. We've got faith in the government. We've got faith in what the political leaders say. We've got faith in this candidate and that candidate, so therefore we're going to place our confidence in that faith by voting for him. But ladies and gentlemen, much too often we place our faith and trust and confidence in government rather than in God. In fact, in Psalms 146, verse 3, we're admonished, quote, put not your trust, that is faith, trust, in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the latest Gallup poll, let me share some numbers with you. According to the latest Gallup poll, if you look at the numbers, it's very, very frightening, because we find with the numbers, the Gallup poll, that the faith and trust in government has plummeted in the past 20 years. It's plummeted. In fact, according to the Gallup poll, it shows that faith in government is only 39% now. And it's a five-page article as far as their poll. When you drill down, ladies and gentlemen, you find that there's a minuscule number. They say 39%. That's 39% in government in general. But when you drill down on that survey, that poll, there's a staggeringly low number of actual faith and confidence in what government does. For example, it talks about the judicial branch, the executive branch, the legislative branch, state and local government, state government handling state problems, local government handling local problems, the federal government handling domestic problems, the federal government handling international problems, et cetera, et cetera. It's broken down pretty extensively. And in general, you combine it all, and basically the poll and research shows that the people have about a 39% or less faith in government. One of the problems, ladies and gentlemen, is placing faith in government to begin with. Our faith and our trust and our confidence ought not to be in government, but in God. In God and God's Word, and God and God's Word alone. Overall, it appears, ladies and gentlemen, that believers continue to have a modicum of faith and trust in government, the political leaders. But let me encourage you in these moments to make a transition in your thought about what does it get you? What does it get us? What do we have that has a tangible result of faithing and trusting government rather than faithing and trusting God? Let me just cut through the chase very quickly. If we place our faith and trust in the finished work on Calvary's cross, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that that shed blood is the atonement for our sins. It is efficacious to cover all sin. But if we don't place our faith in that, we don't place our trust in that finished work on Calvary, there's no such thing as biblical salvation. We need to understand what faith means, what faith does, where we get faith, and how we have faith to trust God in what He says and what He does.
So then, Dr. Youngblood, basically what you just got finished saying, and I believe, you know, what I was just gathering some thoughts from that as you began to go down through that explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, Christians, believers in Christ, according to what you just explained to them, should understand that they have a dual citizenship.
Yes, yes, yes.
But your first allegiance should be to your citizenship, which is in heaven.
Amen.
So if you have more faith in the government
than in God,
then that means you may not have a citizenship in heaven.
That's right.
Because listen, I mean, sometimes we can do things to void our faith,
mm-hmm.
because the scripture lets us know plainly, and I think that's in the book of Romans, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But the Apostle Paul came back, and he answered that in a little bit more negative way, because he said after working within the four consecrated walls of the church, he said that all men have not faith. So I'm thinking, Dr. Youngblood, that in this day and time that we're living in, that's what we're beginning to see that now.
Absolutely. In fact, when you look at Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter, verse 8, Jesus says, when I return to the earth, will there be faith on earth?
Amen.
Will there be any faith? And that's a very powerful question, ladies and gentlemen. As I look around, as we as individuals, as Christians in particular, as we look around the world, I'm finding fewer and fewer people that have true biblical faith.
Amen. Amen.
There's a trust in self. There's a trust in an intellectual ability. There's a trust in academic credentials. There's a trust in what government can do. There's a trust in their car. You get up every morning, you place your key in the ignition, and you turn the key. You've got faith that car is going to crank. But does it always crank?
Amen. Amen.
Does it always start? That is the problem as we see it.
Amen. So we must understand, Dr. Youngblood, that, listen, we need to move ourselves away from believing is sin.
That's right.
Because we tend, as human beings, and I understand, when we delve into the unknown a whole lot of times, then we get a little bit unstable because we can't see things.
Mm-hmm.
But God say, believe it first and then see it.
That's right.
So then, okay, in order for us to have this spiritual walk with God, we have to forsake what the natural tells us to do. We have to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Absolutely. Well said. In fact, I think it probably redounds to this very question. What does the Bible say is faith? And I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Simply stated, ladies and gentlemen, biblical faith, the definition of biblical faith is simply this. Now, this is the Youngblood vernacular translation of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Amen, amen.
Trusting, having confidence in something that you cannot explicitly prove. Trusting, having confidence in something that you cannot explicitly prove. For example, do you have faith in God? Can you prove that God exists? In fact, from Genesis 1:1 throughout all of the scripture, starting with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, it is presumed that God exists. There's not any place in the scripture, Pastor Davis, that there's any attempt to prove God.
Amen.
No
amen.
Attempt
amen.
To prove God.
And God doesn't have to do that.
Doesn't have to prove himself.
Amen. Amen.
It is simply the de facto statement, in the beginning, God. And that throughout the scripture, it is the progressive revelation of God to man that we understand who God is through the progressive revelation of God of himself to man through the scripture. As we read the scripture, as we look at the scripture, as we hear the word of God, it is providing the faith in who God is. It is the evidence of things not seen. So, Pastor, how would you explain, if somebody said, well, what is faith? How would you explain that based on Hebrews 11:1? What is your understanding of that?
Well, first, Dr. Youngblood, to me, I mean, we have to understand that without God, there would be no faith, mm-hmm. because faith is a gift from God.
That's right.
God, when he gives us the faith, he supplies us or he furnishes us with the ability to believe. Mm-hmm. So once we get this faith, and we're talking about true biblical faith, we're not right. talking about head faith, mm-hmm. mental assent. We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual faith in God. First, we must believe that God is or that he exists and stop trying to figure out where did God come from, who was his mom and daddy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what human beings do.
That's right.
Sometimes we want to dig into places where we should not be, but the scripture lets us know that the secret things belong to God. That's mm-hmm. what it says in the book of Job.
Right.
But the earth has he given to the sons of men. Mm-hmm. So, what he has given us here in this earth realm that we have to live in, we need to be more concerned about that because we have to deal with things in everyday life, but then not worry about how life is going to be lived. We place that faith in God that no matter what we face in this life, as we walk in this earth realm, God is going to supply all of our needs, and the scriptures say, according to his riches in glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
How are you two? This blessed new year.
Amen. We're blessed and thankful
for
it. Pray that you are. You can't miss an echo coming out, but
try again. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Happy New Year to the both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you too so much because you have blessed my spirit and soul. And I wanted to say something you said about we don't have to prove God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. When people look at a true believer, they should see that aura of him and know that it's something special within them, that we don't have to prove it. But it's hard to tell nowadays of that spirit. It's like there's some soot on it. And I wanted to let you two know, even though I've been serving God for a long time, and ordained evangelist, and you have helped me keep the spirit alive, I was born again last night completely. And I just want to say that proves God.
Amen.
That proves God.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thankful.
And I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Terry. We're thankful for you, and thank you for tuning in. We don't have to prove God. Just need to believe God, trust God, faith God in each and everything. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We need to place our faith in him. We need to walk by faith. And to walk by faith, we need to have the shield of faith, according to the scripture. We'll talk about those things further on the broadcast, and that is exactly what we need. And by the way, we're talking about how we need to have that aura. I've said, and this is a little elementary, but I've said for many years, Christians need to look different, act different, talk different, even smell different.
Amen.
I believe that when we walk into a crowd, we speak to an individual or to a group, there needs to be something about a Christian life that says that person is different, that man is different, that woman is different. And that goes back to we need to be salt and light. Salt causes one to be hungry, to have a taste for water. And we need to have that about us, that others will want what we have. Terry, thank you so much for your call.
I received that last night again, and I know I've been born again.
Amen.
I'm
thankful to hear that. God bless you. Thank you for
God
that testimony. Thank you so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject. Without faith, you can't please God. Call that telephone number to you. Call and join in the dialogue and discussion. Love to hear from you. Let me see if I can break it down, Pastor Davis, a little bit. I'd love to hear from people today. What are your thoughts about faith? Have you placed your faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you walking by faith each day? Are you confused about what that word faith means and how you receive that faith? Where does the faith come from? Should we place our faith and trust in God or government? I'd love to hear your thoughts, your concerns, your interest in relationship to that. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about faith, the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, literally trusting, placing confidence in something that you cannot explicitly see. And before we take our next caller, let me explain, Pastor Davis, a couple of things for our listeners. And I broke down Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the evidence of things, substance of things, hope for, and evidence of things not seen. Intellectual faith and actual faith. Intellectual faith says, I believe something is true. Intellectual faith says, I believe that I can do this, or that, or the other. Intellectual faith can look at a chair and say, I believe that chair is made strong, that chair looks good, that chair is sturdy, and I believe that chair will hold me up. That's intellectual faith. But actual faith is putting feet on that faith that says, I'm willing to trust it. I'm going to sit on that chair. I'm going to place my weight, my total being on that chair. I will just sit on it. That's actual faith. And so intellectual faith says, I believe something. That's intellectual faith that the demons had in the book of James, and they trembled, but it didn't make them saved. So we need to actualize that faith by putting it into practice. I've used the old cliche for many, many years, Pastor Davis, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first.
Amen.
I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. It's a wonderful Friday.
Amen.
Amen.
A lot of people say TGIF day. Thank God it's Friday.
Amen.
Dr. Youngblood, I know in your decades of being a minister, you've ran into people that almost would pat you on the head and feel sorry for you because you believed in a God that you couldn't see, you really couldn't prove, and they would just be condescending. But I'm beginning to wonder, that same group, and they actually have strengthened my faith because they believe you could take a healthy male or female, mutilate their body, cut the breast off, sew some appendages on or take them off, and you've changed the gender. Now, to me, Dr. Youngblood, but you haven't changed the DNA. They're still XX or XY. To me, isn't that the height of stupidity? Isn't that believing in something that's just impossible? It's not impossible for there to be a God.
That's the height of stupidity. That's the height of ignorance. And that is the height of an individual believing the lie and placing their faith and trust in that lie. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Dr. Youngblood, I really have listened to you for years about how you go through all these different articles you find and you glean the truth. And I've really learned how to glean from you. And for instance, there was an article on the computer and it said that, quick, sell your Florida real estate. It's all going to crash. Move to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So I did, and you'll get a kick out of this. I did some research, and that article was posted by the largest realtor in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So we know what his narrative is. Mm-hmm. But I have found a really good, it's a continuing site, and a gentleman says that Fed can't print oil, they can't print gas, they can't print food, and Biden's not smart enough to run the world or really create a worldwide recession. And he said, what's going on that business, big business, has learned you can't ship goods halfway around the world and you can't deal with China. You can't trust them. Like when Trump told Germany, don't shut your nuke plants down because you can't trust those Russians. But he says what's happening is the manufacturing is coming back to the U.S. And that's really where the shortages are coming from. The factories aren't set up, but they're between the two. And he said in the next 2 years, you'll see things get back on par. And China's one-child policy is sinking them, that they're selling more Depends in China than they sell diapers. How do you run that through your system? Does that sound plausible to you?
Very simply put, Tom, it is where man has placed trust and confidence in man, where man has placed trust and confidence in government rather than in God. And if that plays out long enough, it will show up the ignorance, the stupidity, and the lack of wisdom and the foolishness in doing so. So what you've just given is a good narrative of man falling man, man believing government, and the end result is a total shattered system of economics, a shattered system of political endeavors because of placing trust and confidence in what man can do. This is the reason It goes back to Psalms 146 and verse 3 that we ought not to put our confidence in princes, that is leaders, presidents, prime ministers, potentates, as I call it, because they cannot help. You're exactly right. But we need to recognize that the key element, the scripture is very, very clear in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that faith must be in God, not in man. But Tom, thank you so much, brother. Go ahead.
So you're saying it's our drifting in this nation, we've drifted from God.
Absolutely.
And what you're saying is we put our trust in the Chinese or whoever would sell us something a dollar cheaper rather than in God. And that's what's got us in getting in this mess that we're in.
Absolutely. And we've got to withdraw ourselves from that faith, trust, and confidence in leaders, in man, in government, and make the transition back to a faith, trust, and confidence in God, or we're going to lose it as a nation. Tom, thank you so much. God bless you. Keep looking up. Very quickly, I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, we've got about a minute before the news break, but go ahead with a quick question.
Yes, okay. Thank you, number one. I have faith, and my wife just called in, but I want y'all, you and Pastor Bishop, you know, to pray for our marriage. And number one, number two, help increase my faith. I have faith. I know God exists. I have been there. And I just want to know, what's your opinion on Joe Biden? Should he be impeached? And he should be impeached, but
he should be impeached. He should be removed. Whatever means, mechanism, possibility that man has, that's the legal constitutional methodology to do so, because the longer he stays in office, the more devastating the end result is going to be for America. We need to have faith in God. That's a good point. We need to have faith in God that God can do it. God's on the throne. God's not dead. God's not asleep. God's not on vacation. He's still in control, and we need to place our faith and trust in him and ask him to remove him. But, Kenneth, thank you so much for calling today. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about without faith, it's an impossibility to please God. So the question is, what is faith? Right after the top of the hour news, we're going to get into a little more depth with the biblical understanding of what faith is. We're going to look at the source of that faith. We'll look at the whole hall of faith that is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and talk about that. Hang on. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.